Fresno. What time is it?
It's time to stir it up!
Welcome to Stir It Up, a weekly program produced by a collective of local activist organizations in Fresno. Please join us as we educate, agitate, and pontificate.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Stir It Up Show. I'm your host, Pam Whalen. Mike Rhodes is on the controls, and you are listening to KFCF Fresno 88.1. And we're going to talk about a number. We have so much going on in Fresno these days, so much activity, and all of it is beautiful. Our first guest that we're going to be talking to today is Jordan Fitzpatrick, who's the Secretary of Trans Emotion. It's a local nonprofit serving the transgender community. Welcome to the studio, Jordan.
Hi, thank you.
Tell us about, you're going to have an event coming up that you want to invite people to, but why don't you tell us a little bit first about what your organization is and what it does.
Sure. TransEmotion is a local nonprofit to support advocacy and education for the transgender community. We have three support groups a month, and we also have a social once a month, and we do trainings for schools and businesses to try to teach trans competency. We also do advocacy for the transgender community, and we are having a Transgender Day of Visibility on April 15th from 12 to 4 at Alliant International University.
Okay, and what's going to happen at that event?
Well, Transgender Day of Visibility is a day to celebrate the lives of transgender people. Transgender Day of Remembrance is a day to mourn those that we've lost in the transgender community as a result of the high murders and suicides in the transgender community. Transgender Day of Visibility is a day to celebrate and uplift those in our community. So it's going to be kind of like a mini convention or pride. We'll have workshops, we'll have speakers and entertainers and vendors and food, and it should be a good time.
So everybody's invited to come and find out more about how they can be helpful.
Absolutely, yeah. Right.
So talk a little bit about, we've seen the course of sort of the gay rights movement, really blossom and really take off over the last decade or two. So talk a little bit about where, the trans, issue is and what are your challenges and what are the things that could be most helpful? What are the things that people could do to be helpful to you?
Well, unfortunately, the trans movement is about 50 years behind the LGB movement. While there have been a lot of good advances for the transgender community, there's still a long way to go. We are still, we're a small percentage of the population, but we are one of the highest risks of being murdered, one of the highest risks of suicide, one of the highest risks of HIV and AIDS, and so there's still a long way to go. One of the things you can do locally is to come to TransEmotion events. You can find more about our events by going to facebook.com/transemotion or transemotion.com, also just get to know a trans person, talk to them, ask, their story, and, I think you'll find that we're just, everyday people like anyone else, so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed a lot in the, a few years ago when the Dreamer, movement was coming out, and people were, trying to get out and sort of get people educated about, what was going on with them, and be able to just feel not invisible, I guess, is what they were looking at. And I went to this. It was over at one of the coffee shops, and they had like a little, like a little poetry night or something, and people got up and told their stories, and maybe they, had a poem or a song or something, or just straight telling their stories. I thought that was such a, to me, that was such an effective kind of way, you know, for people to be able to, you know, to bring people in.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've noticed in my experience when we go to schools and businesses, when we do a Trans 101 presentation, when we do panels where we share our personal stories, that's where I've noticed a visible change in how people view us. We may start the presentation with people not knowing anything at all about us and ending the presentation with, wow, I never even knew all this stuff about trans people, and what can I do to help? And so I think that's the most impactful way to get to people that I've noticed.
Right, to kind of, okay, what would it be like to walk in your shoes? Yeah. Yeah, okay, so is there any particular issues, you know, legislation or different kinds of policies that your group is working on right now?
Right now, we are really concerned about the state of healthcare, because if we lose the Affordable Care Act, or if we aren't able to get single-payer health care, most of the trans community receives their health care from the Affordable Care Act, because we're a very poor community. It's very hard to get a job as a trans person. And so without being able to get the life-saving surgeries and hormones that we need to feel okay in our bodies, it puts us at a higher risk for suicide. More recently, the bathroom bill in North Carolina, they say it was repealed, but really it's HB 2.0, where now you're allowed to use the restroom in North Carolina as a trans person, but there aren't any protections for employment or housing and things like that.
In California, what's the status in California?
In California, we actually are very lucky in California. We have a lot more protections, but there's still it's still very easy to be discriminated against, even with those protections. Like, it's extremely difficult to change your name and gender marker legally. It's a very long, complicated process. I don't think a lot of people realize that there's a separate process for each form of identification. And you can go into an interview for a job and have one name on your application, and then they do a background check, or they, or you put your normal, you put your preferred name on the application, you put your birth name on the application, and then they see you and you don't look like the name that you were born with, and they immediately know that you're trans, and they can choose not to hire you. It's very easy to find out if you're trans when you go to a job application, so it's hard to get a job for that reason. We also, you know, just we're always experiencing a high number of hate crimes, so just going down the street is a dangerous thing. Mm-hmm. Especially for trans women of color, they're the most at risk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And has there been any work with, like, the police or anything to try to get them to be more helpful, or?
We've been trying to do a training for the local police, but we haven't really had any success with connecting with them so far. But yeah,
I wonder why.
Well, I can tell you the police chief's phone number if you Okay, well, why don't you just, again, tell us when and where and everything your event is going to be.
Sure. It's going to be at Alliant International University, and that's, you know, near the Fresno airport. It's from 12 to 4. It's completely free. And, again, there will be speakers and workshops and performances, and there will be vendors and food, and one of the workshops will be a Know Your Rights workshop, which should be really helpful for our community. So.
Okay, great. Well, great. Thank you very much. Jordan Fitzpatrick, the Secretary of the Trans Emotion. And we also have in the studio, joining us, is Shannon Kurtz. And
Hi.
She has the best job I ever saw. She's the Archbishop of the Ministry of Fun.
Archbishop.
Yeah. And also with the Fresno Resistance and on the National Lawyers Guild Executive Board. So
Central California. Yeah, Central Valley.
Yeah, Central Valley, right. Yeah. Okay, and why don't you, you were going to come in and talk about the Resistance, so tell us about that for a couple minutes.
All right, I was going to come in and talk to you about ResistFest that was also supposed to take place on April 15th in conjunction with Trans Day of Visibility. We were working together on these things. Breaking news is that ResistFest, as of this morning, has been canceled for various reasons. The most pressing one is we can't afford to do any more civil disobedience right now. I do want to tell everyone that the Ministry of Fun will all be at Trans Day of Visibility, and it will be amazing. Yeah, so that's what's going on with that.
Okay. And so you're asking folks to go to the Trans. Day of Visibility.
Event. Asking, telling, I don't know.
Yeah, right,
what am I
right.
doing?
Encouraging. Right. Okay, and so you wanted to talk about a little bit about you've been doing some civil disobedience.
Yeah, I am going to talk about that.
Yeah, since our the Reign of Terror has
The Reign of Terror
yeah,
has begun.
Down. Yeah.
Yeah.
So why don't you just go ahead and kind of start at the beginning and tell that story.
Okay, well, yeah. I'm also going to hawk Trans Day of Visibility some more because we will also be there. Fundraising for the Resistance Legal Fund that you can find on Indiegogo. You can also just hand me money or checks, like, on the street. I'm down with that as well. So the reason we cannot do ResistFest right now is because I was involved in the March for Liberation and Justice that took place on March 5th, where we got some lockboxes and we shut down the street in front of the jail. The point of the March for Liberation and Justice was to protest the fact that MIMS allows ICE in the jails. She does not have to, but she is working with them by choice. So on Friday, I was at the Nunes protest. And after a series of events, mostly involving a...
Well, why don't you just describe the event a little bit first, yeah.
Okay, yeah. The Nunes rally was... Okay, it was put on by Indivisible officially, and Nunes was in town, which is kind of shocking because he won't do a town hall, but he will go to a fundraiser, so, like, if he's at a fundraiser, we need to tell him things. I was in back with, I don't know, about 15 other people. Jordan, you were there too? It was
not bad, yeah.
Fun, exciting. And we were letting cars leave when one of them tried to run us down. At which point, a cop showed up. I tried to make a complaint. This is, like, sad, but also kind of hilarious to me, because the cop then said, well, maybe he was intimidated by your presence, which is patently ridiculous, because, you know, cars kill people, and people with signs generally don't. I don't know. That's just what my opinion is. So I was arrested for a warrant for obstructing the sidewalk, a municipal code violation, and taken to jail and told that I wouldn't be released until Wednesday unless I made bail. Unfortunately, there are three other people who also have arrest warrants, and that's a tricky situation. But we can't afford to do more civil disobedience because they will add additional charges. And that's what's going on with ResistFest.
Okay, so that was an obstacle to going forward with it at this
yes,
point.
Yes, it's postponed. We're going to do it this summer.
Okay.
It's going to be epic.
Okay, great. And do you want to say just a couple words about the Trans Emotion for Visibility?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Come to Trans Day of Visibility. It's fun. I'm going to try to get my dude on stilts to come show up. Like, yeah, we're gonna have a party. I'm also doing the Know Your Rights training at Trans Day of Visibility. And let me tell you, it's going to be fiery. so you should definitely come and check it out. Alliant University, 12 to 4, April 15th.
And what's the street address of that? Or the cross streets?
I unfortunately don't have that memorized. I should.
Here, I'll look it up.
Okay.
We have the power of technology at this point. Isn't it amazing? We all live in the future. No dead air. Keep talking.
Okay. Okay. Oh, we can have a little dead air. Okay. So while we're looking for that, just want to remind everybody, we've been talking to Shannon Kurtz for Fresno Resistance, and also Jordan Fitzpatrick from the Trans Emotion, and talking about the events that are going to be happening on the 15th of April. So that's not this weekend, but the next weekend. And then we're going to go ahead and bring on our other guests. We're going to take a quick little musical break, and then we're going to come back and be talking about the Community Alliance event that is going to be this Sunday.
Alliance International University, 5130 East Clinton Way. But seriously, just like attend the event on Facebook and you will have all of the information you need.
All righty.
The future is now.
All righty. And this is KFCF Fresno, 88.1. You're listening to the Street Heat Show. I'm your host, Pam Whalen. Mike Rhodes is on the controls. And join us in the studio right now. We have Michael Evans. Welcome, Michael.
Good afternoon.
And Bev Fitzpatrick.
Hi.
Welcome, Bev. And with the Community Alliance newspaper, which is going to have a big event this weekend. So, Bev, why don't you go ahead and start off and tell us what's going to be happening this weekend.
All right. We're growing the Community Alliance. We have to. We have to continue with this paper and make it bigger and better than ever. So we're having a fundraiser at the Unitarian Church on Sunday, April 9th, from 4 to 6 in the afternoon, kind of like a little happy hour idea. And it's going to have, we're going to have some food, some appetizer kind of food, and wine, beer, and soda, and water, and our guest speaker is going to be Assemblyman Dr. Joaquin Arambula, who I think it's pretty cool to get to see one of our legislators right here at the Community Alliance event. So that's good. And the social hour music will be by Eva Scow, and maybe she'll bring a couple people with her. So,
All right.
Local girl. Thank you.
Okay, great. And Michael, you have ascended to be the executive director of the Community Alliance newspaper. So, you know, talk about what that means and, you know, kind of where are we at in this, you know, in this journey of having independent media here in,
sure,
in the Valley.
Well, you know, the Community Alliance has been around for 20 years, and it has served as the progressive voice of the Fresno community and done an excellent job of that. But as we're looking at the current political landscape with Donald Trump in the White House and numerous resistance activities taking place, we need to increase the power and the extent of our voice. And we're also somewhat unique in that there are not many communities that have this sort of publication. A lot of the papers that do exist around the country tend to be a little bit more corporatized. They're focused on entertainment, and they'll do one or two counterculture articles to draw your interest, but they're not really a voice for a progressive community. So we're looking to build on that, to expand our reach into the Spanish language audience, and to expand the geographic reach as well.
Okay. And
you know, and we, you know, we're talking to some folks here earlier, you know, who are organizing events. We have sort of a, you know, a time when there's a lot going on. Plus, you know, and I, you know, sort of talking to some of the people that they're like, there's some of this, how could I say, you know, people feel like maybe people come to, like, certain actions but don't come to others, and maybe people feel like they're not being supported as much as what they can. So how does, you know, how does the paper and how do other folks deal with those kind of issues? And why does it matter to have the paper?
Well, I think right now there's just a ton of activity going on, resistance activity, and you know, the kinds of things that we've been doing all along. So you could spend all day just going to activist events, and you could burn out very quickly. So I think what the Alliance has the potential to do is to keep you informed about areas of your particular interest, and number one, and then also those times when we need everybody to come together, when we need a show of ultimate force.
Mm-hmm. So it's a link.
Exactly.
A linkage, right.
And because of some of the community articles, people are learning about things a little more in depth, and then they can say, oh, I want to go join that group, or I'd like to attend their meeting or whatever. And we do have some organizations in Fresno that already have full pages in the Community Alliance, like the Center for Nonviolence and WILF, which would be great if more people wanted to. I know the partnership did for a while, and the Progressive PAC did. And so those kind of things really help the paper, and it gets the word out to more people. I know that every month I deliver probably close to 200 or more newspapers to various spots downtown and around the area. So the paper does get, there's probably 10 of us that do that. So
yeah, and talk a little bit about, it's like a mostly volunteer operation, right?
It's volunteer that I know of.
Yeah,
so
right,
I don't know
right.
anyone either. Right. It's paid to deliver it.
Right, right. So talk about how is it if somebody was interested in the paper and wanted to get involved, how would that happen? Michael?
Well, as most publications, we're always in need of content, and there's a lot that we need to be covering right now. You know, not only are there the resistance events, there's the type of legislation that Trump's putting forward, the things that are happening locally at city council. We need to be addressing and analyzing and investigating those types of stories. So it helps if people who are willing to do that type of investigation step forward. And, you know, we're certainly willing to work with them. But it is largely a volunteer operation. So we need to keep having human resources to keep it moving forward effectively.
Mm-hmm. And writing is one of the things that,
writing,
that,
absolutely.
That needs to be done.
Research, mm-hmm. investigation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know some of the times we've talked about that some of the work that has been done in the community, you know, people work like getting certain people elected or stuff, and then they're elected, and then, you know, we're not really following that much, you know, and with the whole decline of the sort of mainstream corporate media, even though it has tons of flaws and warts, what was putting considerable resources into monitoring some of these, you know, the city council, the board of supervisors, the school board, right? So that's an area that's kind of abandoned right now, right?
Really? Well, accountability, you know, we elect a person who ran on a particular campaign, and then we need to hold them to that once they're in office. And if they campaigned on progressive issues, we need to hold them to that. And if they campaigned on, say, a more conservative agenda, then we need to be pointing out to them where their flaws are relative to how they're serving their community.
Mm-hmm. And even like some of the stuff, it's even not ideological, right? Like,
right.
We're seeing stuff like going on like at the school board where there's corruption going on with the funds.
Right.
And, you know, of course, we've seen that at other places, too, mm-hmm. right? The City Hall.
So, and those are the kinds of things that a publication like the Alliance should be addressing, informing the community about how we can be a better community.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about the whole thing of there's so much activity and the challenge of trying to keep up with the pace of that. I know we're, you know, like, I know the calendar or something.
The community activity, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I've been doing the calendar. I think it's going to change format pretty soon a little bit, but that's okay. And I know people have expressed to me that they take that calendar and they put all the events in their calendar and decide which ones they want to go to. One thing that we've supported throughout the years is Cineculture at Fresno State, and it's always been in the calendar, and those are great documentary films that are free to the public on Friday evenings at 5:30, and then once a month at mm-hmm. Filmworks at the Tower. Mm-hmm. But those kind of things, I think, get the progressive community out. And I like Cineculture because it's educating the younger people, the millennials at Fresno State. I've had some conversations with students out there that didn't know the issues in Palestine or something like that. So mm-hmm, it's mm-hmm. good, too. Yeah.
And we were talking last night about trying to figure out how to keep up with the pace. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, there is just so much coming at us, but it's important that we do make the community aware of all of these activities. And like Bev mentioned, you know, they're not all protest and activism. There's informational activities we need to be informing the community about as well. And the more empowered we are, the more effective we're going to be.
Right, right. Okay, so just talk... you are going to be taking this on. Talk about the importance of why you're doing that, Michael, and you know why you know the importance of this event that's coming up.
Well, the event's hugely important because in order to make these changes and help the Community Alliance grow, obviously we need resources and money is essential. You know, we would like to think that it isn't, but it is. And so we need the community some support, and you know, in return for that support, we're going to deliver a product that keeps them well informed.
Okay.
And I might talk about how people can become a sponsor.
Yeah. Talk about different ways that people could plug in
right.
and help.
I didn't mention this before, but our event is $25 in advance, and you can buy your ticket on Brown Paper Tickets, and or $30 at the door. We welcome that also. But if you would like to become a sponsor, we have a Ida B. Wells level at $500, and Edward Snowden level at $250, and Amy Goodman level at $100, which should be pretty easy for a lot of people to do. But one thing that we've discovered as I've served on the board for the Community Alliance is that our sustainers are very, very important. So if you can give $25 a month or something, that lets us know that every month we have that much money guaranteed to work with. So we really would appreciate sustainers as well as subscribers. So.
Okay. And Bev, why don't you just tell us once again where and when okay. and what are all the fun things that are going to be going on?
All right. April 9th, this Sunday, 4 to 6 at the Unitarian Church, which is at 2672 East Alluvial in Fresno, just between Chestnut and Willow. And we're going to have food, and we're going to have wine and beer and soda, and Eva Scow is going to provide us music during social hour, and then our guest speaker is going to be Assemblyman Dr. Joaquin Arambula, and we'll get to introduce Michael Evans to the crowd also. So.
Okay. Well, I'll give you 15 seconds. Michael, anything else you want to add?
Well, I think supporting the Community Alliance is important. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much, Michael Evans and Bev Fitzpatrick, for joining us. You've been listening to the Stir It Up Show here on KFCF Fresno 88.1. And I'm your host, Pam Whalen. Mike Rhodes is on the controls. And now we're going to take you back to KPFA. We'll share the pain.